Book of Romans, chapter 14, starts from verse 1. Go ahead.
Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputation. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him.
Now somebody will say, whoever eats meat is a strong person, and who eats herbs is a weaker person. But to eat meat, it needs the guts to eat, because you have to kill the animal, prepare the food and eat. And some people think it's so bad. The people who are living in India and some other countries never eat the meat. They will feel that, what kind of people are these? They have no sympathy, no love, nothing. They are cruel and they eat this kind of meat. So to eat meat, you have to have a strong faith. That's what he's trying to say. Because in the Bible, meat eating is not prohibited. In the Old Testament, there is a law given what kind of meat you should eat and what kind of meat should not be eaten. But if from the beginning, when the Adam was created, God told him all the herbs for you to eat. At that time, God did not tell him to kill the animal and eat. So they were eating all the herbs. But when man committed sin, now the animals became enemy to mankind. So now to survive, man has to kill the animal. Before that, they were friends of man. Now he has to survive, so they start killing the animals and even eating the animals, and it was not sin. The time of Noah, also God told Noah, up to now I told you the herbs, but now you can eat the animals. Animal also is given for your food. So they were eating all kinds of animals. Then when the Mosaic law came, God told Moses what kind of animal you should not be eating. Only unsaved people, like other heathens, they were eating all kinds of animals. But then comes the New Testament. And the New Testament, we learn, when Jewish people start preaching the gospel to heathen, heathen people were eating animal, eating blood, eating even dead animals and everything. So now to bring them to the Christianity, they got some rules and regulations. They said, okay, you cannot eat the blood. You cannot eat the animal strangled. You just cannot eat the dead meat, and that's for hygienic purposes also. And said, eat the clean animals and don't eat unclean animals. Then, when the Gentiles and Jews start getting mixed together, and then Peter got the vision, so he saw the vision, all the unclean animal, and God says, eat them. And Peter says, no, Lord, I never ate this, and this happened 3 times and he didn't eat it. So some Christian people took a message from that. You can eat now unclean animals because God has sanctified them. And that's the way all Christian people start eating unclean animals. And now we have all kinds of sickness and disease in the world. So here's the problem happening in this chapter. Now, once you go to preach the gospel to China, China eats cats. They make cats pickle. And if you go to Philippines, they eat dogs. And even the China, they just like you raise your cows, they raise the dogs for food. And they were showing in the film, they were raising the dogs. And some of the raising pigs to make the food. So now it's a problem for the Christianity to grow in certain countries. If you start saying you eat pigs, so I cannot worship with you, or you eat a dog, so I cannot worship with you, then the Christianity will not spread. So that's why this chapter is all about. So that's why he says, for one believer that he may eat all things, another who is weak, eateth herbs. So if you have a faith in God and you can eat anything and pray and it will be sanctified and you eat. But if you're living in a country like America, you have all kinds of good food and bad food, then you have to make a choice what kind of food you will be eating.
Right.
Because if you go in a jungle, there is no food, and you take a lizard and bite the raw lizard and eat, you will digest it. Because at that particular time, your stomach has nothing. Anything you eat, you will digest. But when you have plenty of food, and then you start eating lizard or snake or scorpion, you will die. Because your body will not handle it. So, eating those kind of food is not sin. If somebody eats pig, they are not going to go to hell. When I was a little boy, I didn't know anything about the law and things like that. First time I heard in the Bible that you should not be eating the fat. Fat is belong to God, and you sacrifice the fat. And the fat was my favorite thing, because when you take a fatty meat and you fry it, good aroma comes,
yeah,
and you feel like eating. But when I got saved, and I read this, fat is belong to God and you should not, I said, Mom, no more fat. No more fat in this house. And she said, up to now we ate, what happened? I said, no more, because Bible says don't eat the fat. So things like that I learned, even though nobody taught me. So here this chapter is saying, do not argue with people what to eat, what not to eat. But now you see in TV, what should I eat? Sometimes they say, don't eat eggs because cholesterol. Then sometimes they say, eat egg, that's good for you. Next time they say, don't eat the butter. Butter is bad for you. And then they make margarine. You start eating margarine. I stock so much margarine. And then they say, oh, don't eat margarine, eat the butter. I threw all the margarine back. So now people do not know what to eat, what not to eat. But what I'm trying to say, as we study and as we learn, if it is whatever it's good for you, you do it. But when you are in a certain place and there is no food, you can eat any food and God will sanctify. So that's why he says the weak people only eat herbs. The people who are strong in faith, they can eat anything and they can digest anything.
All is good.
Right. Now, water is good too.
Yeah.
Okay? Water is good, salt is good, but honey is good.
Right.
But everything has to eat in the limit.
Right.
The word of God says, you should not be judging the person what he eats and what he doesn't eat. Because some of the foods, even the good food, may not be good for you. Like some people are allergic to wheat. Some people are allergic to peanut butter. So I cannot say, I eat peanut butter, nothing happened, and you eat now. You cannot judge like that. That's what he is trying to say. God can heal any sickness, any disease, but you don't have to tempt God. If you are not a believer, something will happen to you. So that's what he is trying to say. So read the verse 4.
Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand.
Okay, now this judgment is not talking about the sinful judgment. This judgment is talking about eating food and things like that. But we know people will take these scriptures and tell you should not be judging anybody.
Yeah.
Because God did not tell you to judge people. Let's go to the Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 to 5.
Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, Then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye.
Don't judge, so you should not be judged. But at the same time, he says, if you want to judge somebody, then you take care of yourself first. If you have a beam in your eyes, you are not going to see the dust on your brother's eyes. So take the beam out of your eyes, then you will be able to clearly see the dust in your brother's eyes, and then you could say, brother, you have a dust, let me take it out. So he said, first of all, if I start judging somebody, and if I'm doing the same thing, then I will be judged. So here he says, Jesus Christ allow us to judge somebody, but you should not be doing the same thing when you're telling somebody don't do it. If you're smoking, you cannot tell somebody don't smoke. Okay, Luke chapter 6, verse 36 to 37.
Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven.
Now see, here he says, it is better for you not to judge somebody. If you judge, he's talking personally to somebody. Yes. Now if you judge somebody, he's going to find some fault in you. And so he's going to come back to judge you. So it is better to forgive, and then he will be forgiving you and you will have peace. If you really, really want that person to know something and he doesn't know what he's doing, then we should be telling him what he's doing wrong. For example, David was the king. He has so many wives and concubines. He goes and takes a Uriah's wife, kills the Uriah, and married her, and nobody says anything to David. Then Nathan comes and tells the story to David. Say, David, in your kingdom there is a man, rich man, and he got a guest, and he has the servant, and the servant had the only one baby lamb, just like his own baby. And that rich man says to that servant, bring your baby lamb, I want to make a feast for my guest. But he has so many other lambs, he didn't take it from that. He took some poor man's lamb. David got so mad. He said, who is that guy? That person should be killed. He says, that's you. You had so many wives and concubines. Why did you take Uriah's wife? So when somebody came and told him, then his eyes opened. And then he wrote a Psalm 51 and cried to God. If nobody told him, he could not do it. But just think, Nathan had the same problem. Nathan kept somebody's wife. Do you think Nathan will be able to talk to David? No, it's different. If you are a child of God, you have to judge people righteously. Okay, let's go to the St. John chapter 5 and read verse 30.
I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me.
So he said, I didn't come to judge, but if I judge somebody, I judge justly or righteously. Because God has given authority to his son to judge. Go to the John chapter 7 verse 24.
Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment.
Judge not people according to outward appearance, but judge righteously. So sometimes he says, don't look at the people outward appearance and judge them. Your judgment should be what? Righteous judgment. Gold and brass looks almost alike if it's polished. But only people who are goldsmith, they can tell you which is gold and which is not a gold. So he says, judge righteously. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 8.
I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing.
Who is the Lord? Righteous judge. He is not going to give somebody an award or something just looking at their outward appearance. So now, from this we know that Jesus Christ is the only one, is the righteous judge, and when we do judgment, you do according to righteous judgment. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 2, verses 1 to 5.
Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest thus the same.
So what he's trying to say, if you doing the wrong thing, you have no authority to judge somebody. Okay.
But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? For despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up thou unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God.
So God is a righteous judge. He's not going to say this person is the pastor of the church, or is the leader of the church, or this person is a governor, or he is a big man, and if I zap them, what the people will say. And God has nothing to give account to anybody. So he doesn't judge anybody outward appearance. He judge according to your works, what you do, and it will be punished one day. Read the verse 16.
In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel.
Secret of men. Some people do sin in secretly. Nobody knows them. Good people. But the word of God says, according to my gospel, means whatever the word I preached, one day God will judge all your secret things according to gospel. If God will judge me everything what I did, how I'm going to stand at the judgment seat of God? So what that person is supposed to do? That person has to ask God forgiveness, put it right with the person what he did, and then he will not be condemned. Go back to the St. John chapter 5 and verse 24.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, no matter what kind of sin you committed, secretly, openly, whatever the way you did, once you say, Lord, I ask you forgiveness for my sins, wash me with your precious blood, let me live for you, he says, at that time, you got everlasting life, and you pass from death unto life, and no condemnation. Means, no judgment. We do not have to stand in front of God for the judgment seat when you are washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we have to plead the blood all the time. We cannot do something and some will say, okay, whole day I have to commit some sin, so I'm not going to ask forgiveness. End of the day when I go to bed, I'll ask all the sin I did and ask forgiveness. You may not be able to see the evening. Then what? If we made a mistake, you have to put it right with God right away. And that's what the Word of God is saying. So otherwise, we will be condemned. But when we ask forgiveness, there is no condemnation. We pass from death unto life. St. Paul is saying, I'm far away from you. But my spirit is there. And what I see, there is a man among you who did a horrible thing, and you are keeping company with him. And it's written what he has done, but we are not going there. And he says, if that man you keep a company, and you don't say anything, that one person will spoil the whole church. It is better for that person to get out of the church and go away. Otherwise, he's going to destroy the whole church. And then what? He's saying, that person, the wicked one, if you let him go. He's saying, give it to Satan. Now, it's a very strong word. If somebody living in sin and doesn't want to change, he said, give that man to Satan. Means kick him out from the church. Yeah. And we give it to the Satan and say, sometimes he might be destroyed and his spirit will be saved. And people get confused. How can this happen? If the person lives in sin and you kick him out and he gets saved, instead of going to hell, he's going to heaven. How did this happen? This is something like this. If some person is very comfortable in the church, living in sin and nobody says anything, this is the first century thing. Now in that time, if you are a member of certain church, and if you kicked out from the church, nobody will take you. You cannot go to any other church. You are excommunicated from the community. So when you are excommunicated from the community, nobody associates with you. Nobody can give their daughters to you. You cannot marry. You cannot have fellowship with somebody. And his life will be so miserable. And sometimes that person will come to his senses. And he might say, oh, I made a mistake. And he might change, even though he's suffering in his body, without food, without company, and sometimes he might turn to God. But if you keep him in your company and don't say anything to him, he might die and go to hell. That's what the point he's making. He's not going to go automatically because you cast him out and he's going to go to heaven. He has to repent of his sin. Then he has a chances to come to God. That's what St. Paul is saying. But we have to take a stand and don't compromise. If you compromise, he says, I'm not telling you to not to live with sinners, because whole world is full of sin. And all the sinners you are living with. You're traveling in the bus, you have sinners. You're going in the supermarket, there are sinners. You're living in the neighborhood, there are sinners. So where are you going to go and live? So you live with the sinners. But I'm talking about the brother or sister in Christ who is living in sin, and you accompany that person and you entertain that person and do not tell anything about sin. That's bad. Somebody has to say to them, repent. Repent and ask God what you have done, you will be punished. We read the last week, if you remember, book of Romans chapter 13. In that 13th chapter, it says, if somebody goes against the man of God, God will punish them. You cannot entertain that person who is doing something wrong. You have to know who is your brother. Is he on the right track? Do we keep the company with those people? Because there are people taking the form of godliness and no power up. You can shout from the mountaintop, but if your heart is not right, God is not going to hear your praises. You can praise the Lord 10 hours. God will not hear. God wants to hear you obedience. The word of God says obedience is what? Better than sacrifice. God has given us grace to do the righteous judgment. Go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and start reading from verse 2 to 5.
Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren.
So the word of God says, God has given us grace to judge. He says, don't you have any wise man in your church to judge people, to tell them what is right and what is wrong? But people have to have courage to tell. One person called me and said, I'm going to give you my church to you. I'm too old and handle this church. We have 5,000 members. I said, sir, I do not want your 5,000 member church. He said, why? Because they were not in the right track. They were not born again. They were not saved. Now you be a pastor of unsaved people 5,000, they will kick you next week. But I said I can win one soul a day and I'll have 10,000 members, but I'll be able to handle them. I cannot be pastor of unsaved people and run their life. It's so difficult. So point I'm making, you have to know the truth. Then truth will set you free. Truth will give you grace to judge people. It says you should not be judged, so you will be judged. But he says in your church people should be wise enough to judge. So how can you be wise? The word of God says whoever wins the soul, he's a wise person. We get the wisdom from God, wisdom from the word of God. Once you know the truth, then you will know how to lead people to truth. People think pastor job is easy. What? Gather people and just preach and become a church. That's not a church. That's a group of people. To run the church, the pastor has to have a calling. Pastor has to have vision. Pastor has to have wisdom. Pastor has to know the truth. Jesus said, the blind man will lead blind, and what? Both will fall in a ditch. And the word of God says, you do not judge somebody if you're doing something wrong. But if you know the truth and somebody is doing something wrong, you should have courage to judge. If you don't tell that person you're doing wrong, then that person will die in their sin. Go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, and verse 8.
When I say unto the wicked, a wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand.
So you said if somebody is committing sin, doing wrong, sin doesn't have to be all the time adultery, fornication, or things like that. Sin can be deceiving people. If that person doing this kind of sin, somebody has to go and tell that person, you know what? You're thinking you are doing right, but you are doing wrong. You cannot live that kind of life and deceive other people. So if you don't tell, what happened? You are just like in his level. God is going to ask his blood. Even though there is this word, if the righteous man doing the righteousness, and then he went astray from the righteousness, and he start committing sin, and he would think, oh, I'm a righteous man, and I can do anything, but that righteousness will not save him. Okay, go ahead.
Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness, neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth.
See, there is no blanket permission God has given. You can be a righteous person and doing sinful activities and say, I'm not doing anything wrong. Okay, go ahead. Read 13 also.
When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it.
Now, see what he's trying to say? If God says to righteous men, you're going to live, you have eternal life. And somebody says, oh, God gave me promise now. That's why these eternal security people are goofed. Because they said, now you're not going to die. You got eternal life. And he says, once I said to somebody, you're not going to die, you're going to live. And they take that word and start committing sin. And now what will happen? They will die in their sin. There is no escape. God says, if you start committing sin and you live in sin, you will be dying.
When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby.
So the righteous man leave the righteousness of God and start committing sin, he will die in his sin. So only way is this. Somebody has to tell the person to turn around. The sinner or the righteous person to turn around. So that's what I'm trying to say. It needs the courage. If you are really, really born again child of God, and really, really have calling for the ministry, go on the street, talk to sinners. The word of God is saying, the people who are doing this kind of thing, they will be punished by God. Okay, let's come back to our chapter 14, book of Romans, about the judgment. So the judgment we're talking about in 14th chapter is not about sin. Romans 14:5.
One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind.
Here is say one man says one day is better. Some say 7 days are better. Now you cannot condemn that person because he says Friday I want to make it holy because Jesus Christ died on the Friday. Some people say, no, but I like Sunday because Jesus Christ risen on Sunday. Don't argue with this, because one day a person will say one day good or 7 days good because he says Friday is better or Sunday is better or Saturday is better. Don't judge those kind of things. Okay, verse 6.
He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God.
Important thing is this saying, when you're eating something, eat for God. You're drinking something, drink for God. And then people will know, if I'm eating for God. Now just think that you're eating some food, and that food is making you fat or killing you. And then you took that food and said, Lord, sanctify this food. God is going to say, why are you eating this food? Are you eating to please your flesh, or you want to live longer for me? So that's what we have to think. If I'm eating for God, then doesn't matter, God will give me grace. Main thing, you should be living for God. That's the main thing. Verse 7.
For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself.
No, now here he's talking to the believers. But how many people are living for themselves? And how many people are living for God? The people live for luxury. They live for themselves. But here he's saying to the believers, if you are a believer, you are not living for yourself, you are living for God. That is the believer's desire should be. Verse 8.
For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's.
Okay, now here is not talking about doing suicide. When we die for the Lord. We don't do suicide and die. He says, when you're living in this world, our desire to live for God. And when I die, I will die in the Lord, not for myself. That's what it is. Living in Christ and dying in Christ, that is a Christian life. Amen. So you cannot say, I live for myself and nobody can tell me what to do. You are not a Christian. Christian person lives for Jesus Christ. Verse 9, 14:9.
For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and living.
Okay. Now somebody says, Jesus Christ is both for the dead and for the living. Now, the word of God says, God is not for dead, he's for the living. Now here he says he's for the dead and living. You remember, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of those people died. But they are not dead, they are alive. But some people are alive in this world, but they are dead. Spiritually dead. But here he's saying, he's talking about the people who are living in Christ. When we live in Christ, he is our God. When we die in Christ, he is my God. Because when Jesus Christ is coming, he says, the trumpet will sound and what? Dead in Christ will rise first. And we are in Christ, who are alive, will transform. That's the thing he's talking about. Dead in Christ or alive in Christ. So he is the Lord of dead and living. He is not the Lord of the people who are already dead. I'm talking about the people sinful. He has nothing to do with them. Only one thing he has to do, judge them and put them in the hell. Okay. Verse 10.
But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.
Now here, the word of God says, don't judge. Every man has to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Now we just learned a few seconds ago that we do not have to stand at the judgment seat of Christ because we have no judgment if you are in Christ. Then here it says, every man, this means every sinner who died will be raised, and every person has to be standing in the judgment seat of Christ. Book of Romans 14:12.
So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's.
So he said, we don't judge people and don't make people to make mistakes. Some people are happy if somebody does something wrong and they sit and laugh. Just like some people do, blind person walks and puts some stumbling block and that person falls or stumbles and they start laughing. He said, that's not a good idea. Our desire should be not man to fall, but the man come to God. Amen. And that's what we have to do, that you should turn that person in the right path. There are some people, when you ask them address, they give a wrong street, purposely to find out how you're miserable. And you take their advice and go. But if you are a wise person, you take advice and sit there and start looking what their reaction is. And they start laughing and they start doing, we did something wrong. Don't take their advice. Ask somebody else. Because there are some people, they want you to do something wrong and be miserable and get punished. But the children of God, not supposed to be like that. Okay, verse 14.
I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, thou walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died.
Now here is saying to say, there is a one person doesn't like to eat meat. For example, I lived in the Hindu community when I was in India, and I started a church in the Hindu community. Not a single person Christian. Everybody Hindus around me. And at that time, even though I liked to eat meat, I did not eat meat. Why? I did not want to offend those people. Not even somebody became a Christian and he was a Hindu, I should not be telling that person, because you became a Christian, now you better eat meat. You cannot. If he doesn't like it, I should give up meat for that brother's sake. That's what God is teaching. You cannot force your eating habit on somebody else. Here it says, if somebody says, oh, if you don't eat meat, then I'm not your friend. He says you are destroying somebody for the sake of Christ. You go to China, I'm not eating dog, and I never ate the cat. But if I'm going in China, and there is nothing, and they put the cat in front of me, and I want to win that person, I would eat the cat to win that soul. If there is nothing, food. If there was a raw bread, I will eat the raw bread or drink the water. And somebody say, why not eating this? I'm not used to it, but you can eat, and I'll still eat. Sit here and worship with you and pray with you. So you cannot tell somebody, you eating that food, drinking that stuff, and you wearing those kind of clothes, and I don't like you. You cannot preach the gospel to them.
Let not then your good be evil spoken of.
Here, this word can be used for many, many reasons. Your good be evil spoken of. Some people do something as a Christian and offend other people. For example, if you have the habit of drinking milk, you're supposed to go to dairy farm and get the milk from there. You cannot go to bar and drink milk. They can give you milk if you want. You can say, give me milk, they will give you milk. But people do not go to bar to drink milk. So if you go to bar to drink milk and say, well, I didn't do anything wrong, I just drank milk, you offended somebody. So even though you're doing good, but the people are saying you're doing bad. Invite somebody to your house who is prostitute. Every day you invite prostitute to give the message. And keep the prostitute overnight in your house. I'm just giving an example. What other people will think? You did not touch that lady. You didn't do anything to that lady. But the people are going to see, what kind of person is this? To the neighbors and to the Christian. That's what he's saying. People should not be evil spoke about you. So you should not be letting other people, what you're doing good, evil spoken of you. Okay. Read verse 17.
For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Right. So now he's talking about, we are talking about food. He says the kingdom of God is not in food and drink, but the kingdom of God is in righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So our life in this world is what? Pleasing God. Doing the righteousness things. Go after peace. Have the fullness of Holy Spirit. And try to win souls in the Lord. We should not be fighting about food and drink. Who likes hoagie? Eat hoagie. Who likes pizza? Eat pizza. Have a good time. Our gathering together is not for food and drink. We're doing for the glory of God. That's what the motive should be. Okay, verse 18.
For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another.
Now, our motive should be bringing people in the unity of God and unity of Christ. We should not be divider, but we should be what? Uniter. Unite people in Christ. Unite people in God. And if the person has a problem, tell that person, we are here to help you. Okay, let's read verse 20.
Destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense.
Right. Now again he says, everything is pure, but if you have some kind of disagreement, offense, then that will be bad for you. But at the same time, only thing will be pure if you are pure in the sight of God. Jesus was talking to a Samaritan lady, and the disciple went to bring food. And when they came, they saw, wow, Jesus is talking to this lady alone. So they got offended. So what I'm trying to say, but Jesus was pure in his heart. He was talking pure thing, so it was pure to him. So it is pure to us to talk to somebody, do something, eat something, if you are pure in the sight of God. But to other, it will be offending. So we have to know, we should not be destroying somebody with our action, with our food, with our behavior. Okay, verse 22.
Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
Now here he's saying, now just think, I'm in somebody's house, and that person doesn't eat meat. And now I'm telling him, you are a born again Christian, you're supposed to eat this. And that person said, I don't like to eat this. But because you say, I'm going to try it. So now this man is not eating by faith. He's eating by fear. He's eating by force. If you're pleasing somebody and doing for somebody and it's not doing for the Lord, it's sin. That's what he's saying. If you're doing something without a faith, it's sin. And whatever you do for God, you do it by faith. You cannot do something for God without believing. So when I'm doing something, I'm doing for the Lord, and I'm doing for by faith. So when I'm doing by faith, I have no sin. But if I'm trying to do something which I don't like to do, but I'm trying to please somebody to do something, I'm not doing by faith. So if you are not doing by faith, what? It's sin. James chapter 4 verse 19. If you know how to do good, and if you don't do it, that also is sin. Here he says, you don't want to do something, and you're doing it, that also becomes sin. Here you know how to do good, and if you don't do good, That's also sin. Whatever you do without faith is sin. Knowingly, and sin you did without knowingly.
Right.
But once you know is sin, then what do you do? Confess and put it right. So here it says, anything you do with doubt, fear, and anxiety, or somebody forcing you to do something and you do, is sin. We cannot be forced by anybody to do anything. Now, what is a white lie and what is a black lie? Just I want somebody to explain to me.
There's the explanation. The white man says the black lie is bad. The black man says the white lie is bad.
Right. So there is no white lie and there is no black lie. If the black person says lie is lie, white man says lie is a lie, brown man says lie is a lie, and everything is lie, and that all the liars will go to hell. So there is nothing favorite lie, and to save somebody's life, lie is lie.
Yeah.
And so lies, all the liars will go to hell. So that's what the Word of God is saying. Everything is not by faith. Devil is the father of all lie, and he wants to destroy us. That's why all the doubt comes from the devil. All the lie comes from the devil. All the division comes from the devil. All the fighting comes from the devil. And all the evil things come from the devil. So he is a murderer, killer, liar, and destroyer. And so John chapter 10 verse 10, he says, what? Enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I have come to give you life, more abundant life. So let's pray.